A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 16th of March 2025, Sunday class. As usual, we will be having the Zoom session from my house. We will be going through this book, the Heart Sutra, second edition, as compiled through my series of talk over 15 months. We are at page 116, lesson 22. Today's topic will be quite interesting because it will be covering the meditative mind. Then after that, part 2 is anatta and non-self, which is a continuation of our earlier sharing. Then there is also a part 3 on meditation question, which we will go through. Hopefully we can cover, otherwise we will use the next session to finish it off. Okay, then as usual, we will compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhan Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Bu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Bu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Bu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surame จาปะมาดาตานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะดังสมาธิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเค let us pay respect triple jam บุดังปุเจมิธัมมังปุเจมิสังฆังปุเจมิ Evocation to the devas in this universe in their entirety. Let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Itti Peso Bhagava Arahaṃ Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokkavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabho vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Sango Nyaya Patipano Bhagavato Sauk Sango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Sauk Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, now you can be seated, then maintain some more attention. Then we'll continue from where we stop. We are at a new chapter, lesson 22, Heart Sutta class, page 116 of our Heart Sutta, second edition. Okay, so part one is a recap. and emphasize on the previous lesson that we have gone through. So in the previous lesson, we have gone through this topic on the mind, the meditative mind. So this meditative mind, as I mentioned here, must not only be calm and peaceful, but it must also be mindful and aware within, or heedful within, to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. It is this mind, or this meditative mind, that is aware, mindful, and heedful, that can understand how the mind stir and become afflicted via one's self-delusion or wrong view or ignorance. The condition or evils of greed, hatred, and delusion to arise. It will also come to understand its origination factor clearly, as to how the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion born of sakyadity come to be. It will also come to understand that before the evil roots are there, like your emotion, your greed, your hatred, your delusion, you are peaceful. There was none of them. So all this is what meditation is all about. But in this note, when it is written as a recap, I have been sharing with Kayamita at that time for quite some time already. That's why they can follow and they can understand. But now I understand there are some new people who are quite new, and they haven't really developed the understanding like my Kayamitas who has followed me for quite a while. So maybe I will have to explain it a bit more so that they can also understand. Then for the other Kayamitas, it can be a revision for you. So now, the title is the meditative mind. So how do you define the meditative mind? So coming back to this topic, we need to come back to develop the understanding from the Buddha's teaching. So according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23 on heedfulness explain clearly the basis of a meditative mind. Because under Dhammapada verse 21, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So the key understanding is you need to be heedful to realize the enlightenment, to develop the understanding to free your mind. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. The meaning is, once you are heedful, you will realize the enlightenment in the here and now as taught by the Buddha. And once you have that realization, you will transcend birth and death. That's why in that sense, you never die. Then Dhammapada verse 22 continue. He said, the wise one, people who have the wisdom and the understanding, clearly understanding the big difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, they intend on heedfulness. Because they see it very clearly. When you are heedless, you are as if dead. you don't stand a chance. So they were determined to be heedful. So when they determined to be heedful, under Dhammapada verse 22, he said, they will rejoice in the rhymes of the Aryas. The rhyme of the Arya means they will become Aryas. They join them. Is the sainthood way, the enlightened being, whether the four pairs of enlightened being. First stage of sainthood, Sotapanna, ship, or second stage of sainthood, Sakadagama, ship, Dagami, ship, and the third stage of sainthood, Anagami, ship, or you can realize Arhanta, ship too. So these are the enlightened beings they call Aryas. They live in the realms of the Aryas. That's why he said, when you intend on heedfulness, you will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. Means you will join them and you will become Aryas. So that shows clearly to us the importance of heedfulness. But then Dhammapada verse 21, 22 never explained to us what is heedfulness. That's why you have to move on to Dhammapada verse 23. Dhammapada verse 23 mentioned very clearly. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, means you hold on to these two training. Develop the mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to meditate, means constantly meditative and ever mindful. And you hold on to these two practices steadfastly, you will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. Yeah. That's how heedfulness was defined. So basically, heedfulness got two components. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So how can we develop it? We can only develop it if we know how to train our mind to be mindful first, without thought, means aware, without thought. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, to cultivate the wisdom, to develop the direct seeing, seeing things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, and to stay with this silent inner awareness, which is stable, heedful, to observe the silent observation of what is will give rise to the wisdom and the understanding. Then you will come to know who you are, what you are, and how your mundane mind develops the stirring of the mind to be afflicted, to develop the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, to condition you into negativity. So when you start to see this, you start to understand how you function as a human being, how you get yourself entangled, how you develop all those wrong views to stir your mind, to develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the insecurity, and all these things. Then you will also come to realize, before the stirring, there was no movement within that true mind, the silent mind, or what we call the pure awareness nature, which is your meditative mind. Then you realize, all this mind state that arise, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your anger, your hatred, they are not intrinsic. They are dependent, originating, born of your wrong view, sakkayaditi. That's how you meditate. That's how you identify how the mundane mind, through ignorance, sakkayaditi, self-delusion, wrong view, stir and react to sense experience. That's how you create the mental hindrance, the errors. And this is meditation. Then coming back to our earlier explanation, I used to tell you all, when you develop your awareness-based meditation, you must understand that each and every one of us living beings, including us human beings, we have two minds. But most of the time, living beings cannot develop the understanding. They are only familiar with one type of mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, which is basically our thought process. So that mundane mind, which is heedless, think a lot, chatter a lot, verbalize a lot, developing all the wrong view to stir the mind and create all the emotion within. And that is the mind that causes suffering because there is no wisdom. That mind is full of knowledge and is full of accumulated memories, which include our very, very negative psychological memory, like our fear, our phobia, our insecurity, our anger, hatred, our deep resentment, our violent behavior. All this is what we accumulate, even our child abuse. Whatever people has done to you, the fear that you have gone through, the phobia that you accumulate. So all these are the negative psychological memory that we deludedly cling on to, hold on to. That's why when we recall them, it triggers off through memory, our fear, our worry, our anxiety, because that experience trigger off phobia, fear, worry, anxiety. And this is what torment and haunt the living being. And this is what the Buddha meant by suffering. And if you relate this to the First Noble Truth, final summary, then you will come to understand why the Buddha, after he proclaimed the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, linking it to the eight realities of life and existence, the last reality, the eighth reality, he summarized. He said, in short, is this due to human delusion, self-delusion, sakkayaditti, that condition living beings, including human beings, to grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that it's a permanent, unchanging entity, it's real, it's what you are. That is sakkayaditti. And when you do that, you say, suffering arises. That's why without wisdom, you cannot free. Every moment of sense experience, you grasp, you cling, you give meaning, and you react to sense experience through memory, through all your psychological memory, your phobia, your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. This is how all this happens. And to understand this, we need the meditative mind. So going back to the meditative mind, as I have explained, we have two minds. But most people are familiar with that thinking mind, the mundane mind, the dependent originating mind, that one that the Buddha called mano. That's why he said, when that mind arises, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. Then within that mind, through ignorant delusion, you input the content of consciousness which have your mental intention, which is before you have the wisdom, most of the time is with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, born of sakyaditi. That's how suffering comes to be, because you, through wrong view, self-delusion, you believe you exist. This form of mind is you, is real. Then from here, you grasp at the five aggregates of form of mind. Everything you come to perceive, you come to feel, you keep meaning, you grasp, you cling. Then through your views, opinion, conditioning, you stir your mind. Yeah. Then all of your mental states, born of psychological memory, like your fear, your phobia, etc. Those are the very negative mind state that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, the evil roots. Then the fourth aggregate is the consciousness. Through your senses, when you attach to what you perceive through your senses, through your consciousness, through everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel and think or recall through memory. Where your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system or religious label, you stir your mind, you react. That's how sakyaditi trap you. That's why the final summary says, in short, it is due to this self-delusion, sakyaditi, that condition one's suffering. Then the second aspect of the mind, which is more difficult to realize, is what I use to teach you all, the pure awareness nature within. That's why I teach you awareness-based meditation to develop the inner awareness, to realize this silent mind, true mind, which is your meditative mind within. And that is the primordial mind that existed before the arising of thought. All thinking aggregates of mind, thought process, arise from there. That's why you must develop this awareness-based meditation. When you are with it, you realize that true mind, which is just pure awareness, or the silent mind without thought, that mind is only the awareness nature. And the awareness nature is a nature. It is the primordial first entity to arise from our nature. Then from there, the mundane mind arises. The stirring of the mind, the input of the content of consciousness that created the thought process, the emotion, everything. To develop the wisdom is to silence our mind and return to this pure awareness nature, which is ever mindful, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to cultivate noble evil path, to develop the wisdom and the understanding, to liberate the mind, to free. That's why the meditative mind is basically our true mind, the silent mind, the pure awareness within. So understanding this is very important. That's why Mahayana also teach in this manner. They always say we start with mind. Understanding mind is very important. Xing wei gen ben. When you understand mind, you understand all creation. You understand life. Otherwise, you won't understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. What is this five aggregate of form and mind all about? Why did the Buddha say this one is not a permanent, unchanging entity, not real, not what you think? This one is dependent, originating, paticca-samuppanna, a phenomena. And that is the part of the teaching that is very important, very difficult to comprehend, unless you have developed the inner awareness within. Yeah. So that first part is very important. Yeah. After that first part, now I come back to the sharing, yeah, the notes. I read one more time, you will understand. Because you already now understand what is the meditative mind. As we come back to the beginning, meditative mind, okay. So now, by now, you should understand what is the meditative mind, which last time I used to explain to Kayamintha before. Then Dhammapada was 21, 22, 23. Then how we end up with heedfulness, then we know to be heedful is to be ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you have to train yourself to develop the mindfulness within, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Just like what I have taught you all, using the four support, especially the first three, to develop the inner awareness. So when you can do that, your mind stabilizes to be ever mindful without thought. That is the beginning of training the mind to be heedful. Because to be heedful, you need two parts. One, awareness or mindfulness, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then constantly meditative, constantly using this silent mind or pure awareness nature, meditative mind, to develop the wisdom. Yeah. And you can, through the silent observation, develop the wisdom, or use it for the direct seeing to develop the wisdom, or use it to awaken, to insight into phenomena, to realize its three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. That's why the silent observation of what is the reality will give rise to wisdom, leading to our ability to see things as they are, without words, without concept. That's why it's the pure direct seeing. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Not through the thought process that know and do all those funny things. That is creating mundane thought activity. If you do that, you cannot be mindful. You cannot be within the moment to be aware, to understand what is going on within life, within existence, within your five aggregate of form and mind. Well, when thought arise, you become heedless. You are lost in thought, preoccupied with that thought process, that thinking, that memory, that emotion, that internal chattering, dialogue, verbalization, commentaries. So all these are the movement of sankhara activity, the thought process. So when you are heedlessly thinking, lost in thought, how can you be aware of what is going on within the moment? That's why you cannot see. When you cannot see, you cannot understand. When you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. And that is how you fail to develop the meditative mind. So now I read the the meditative mind, you will understand. The meditative mind must not only be calm. You know why is it calm? Because it doesn't think. No thinking means what? No thought, no labeling, no concept, nothing, no duality. That's why that meditative mind is tranquil, still, calm, peaceful. Yeah. Then I say, the meditative mind must not only be calm, peaceful, tranquil and still, but it must also be mindful, means with awareness within, and heedful, means constantly meditative, developing the understanding within, to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. So now you understand. So it is this meditative mind that is aware or mindful. That's why it must have inner awareness. If it's a silent mind without inner awareness, it's not the free mind, not the real awareness that the Buddha talked about. Yeah. So this meditative mind that is fully aware, ever mindful and heedful, that can understand how our mundane mind stir and become afflicted via our self-delusion or sakkayadity and wrong view or ignorance, that condition our emotion which has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion to arise. It will come to understand its origination factor clearly. It means, how did our greed arise, our anger arise, our hatred, our fear, phobia, insecurity, etc., how they arise. So when you are mindful, you can see how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, and see clearly the origination factor of all this mind state, which are not intrinsic within your nature, clearly. When you see them clearly, then you will understand how you are conditioned into those negativity of mind state. Yeah. Then you will understand how the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion come to be. Then you will also come to understand that before this negative mind state of the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion comes to be, the mind was originally still, tranquil, peaceful, without thought. So everything that arises, they arise naturally. We are conditioned arising causes and conditions. And all phenomena exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. You will develop the understanding. Because sometimes you can also insight into phenomena. When you silence your mind completely, it will insight into phenomena. It will awaken by itself. Then we have Dhamma Nupassana, cultivation of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. One will understand clearly how to trace the origination factor behind the stirring of the mind, and how one can retrospectively reverse it via wisdom. The moment your mind stirs, Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course, hence conditioning one's suffering. Just like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart, as explained by Dhammapada verse 1, as proclaimed by the Buddha. Then the meditative mind will understand how the mundane mind get caught into this delusion, and how it entangles itself, and how suffering comes to be. With this understanding, it will no longer be deluded. To really see and awaken to this truth or understanding, one needs a very stable mindfulness, sati. That's why you have to be very stable in the training of the mind to be aware. That sati must be very stable. That's why I say stabilize it until it becomes ever mindful. Take for example a case where a Kayamita's friend passed away suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to heart attack. This one was during one of the Thursday class earlier on. There was a new Kayamita who came to the class, the Thursday class. It's a lady, I remember. Then she was also about that age. Then suddenly, after a few sessions, he suddenly arrived at the class early. Then she spoke to me. He said, "Brother Teo, today I'm very sad." I said, "Why?" He said, "I have got a very close friend, a very good friend." He said, "They know each other for very long." He said, "She just passed away. She got a heart attack." Just like that. Then the Kayamita said, "Today I'm very sad." So I asked her why. He said, "Because she has been my very good friend for the past 20 plus years." I asked her again, "Do you know why you are so sad? And who is sad? Who is the you that is sad? So you have to contemplate deep into this. These are the second turning wisdom, the pointer that the Buddha wants you to understand." Yeah. That's why I ask her, "Do you know why the you, in inverted comma, why are you, the Sakkayaditi, the self-delusion that you identify with and say, you are so sad? And who is that? Who is the you that is that?" If you contemplate this deep enough, you will develop the understanding and awaken. But instead of doing that, you know what she did or not? Just like normal Buddhists. A lot of Buddhists with a lot of knowledge on will answer. As usual, she said, "Attachment law." Then I say, most Buddhists answer this way. And because of that, very likely, I use the word very likely, because not everybody is like that. Some may awaken. They will not develop the wisdom because they never inquire, reflect, and contemplate like I ask. Who is the one say he is sad? And who is the entity that is sad? And who is the you that is sad? That's why when you cultivate, you must reflect, contemplate. Don't take the word for what it is. Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma can stand up to investigation because it's the truth. So inquire, investigate into it. Do not accept everything that is been taught or said. Then I say, most Buddhists answer this way, attachment law. And because of that, very likely they will not develop the wisdom, that they never inquire, reflect, and contemplate deep into this Dhamma that has arisen, as advised by the Buddha under the second turning of the first noble truth. So under the first turning of the first noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed the first noble truth of dukkha, leading to Suttamayapanya. So Suttamayapanya is wisdom born of hearing the sutta. Then under the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. This is the second turning wisdom, leading to Cittamayapanya. So the inquiry should be, how can I understand this noble truth of dukkha? Because the Buddha said it's to be understood. Then why did the Buddha say that I have to understand it? If I don't understand means what? You will be caught in suffering without knowing you suffer. So, knowing the important, that's why you must go all out to develop the understanding. Then the inquiry should be, how can I develop the understanding? Yeah. So the inquiry will enable her to investigate via mindfulness and heedfulness to realize that it is the mind that has been conditioned by her wrong view or ignorance, born of sakyadity, that caused her to cling onto her thought process that arises via her memory of her good friend of 20 plus years, hence confirming the Buddha's final summary of the First Noble Truth that said, in short, it is due to ignorance or ignorant born of sakyadity or self-delusion that condition wants to grasp at the five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. So the cause of suffering is craving or grasping and clinging, conditioned by her own self-delusion or sakyadity that led her to cling onto her mental perception via memories and consciousness that condition her pure feeling into sadness and suffering. Not knowing that it's only the form and the mind, mental, not so real. Because all these are conditioned arising phenomena, the five aggregate of form and mind, the mental five aggregate, which is just a thought, are not a permanent unchanging entity that one can cling onto, grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I, and therefore all these are mine. That is really sakyadity. And what is a thought? Arise and pass away. That's why I used to tell Kayamita, do reflect deep into this and awaken to its three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta to break free. Then we will understand that there is no one to be sad, and also no one born, no one sick, and no one die. So this understanding is not easy. That's why I say, contemplate and reflect deeply and inquire. Why am I still so deluded? Why can't I just wake up to this truth? Then I add in one part for those in depression. And many of them in depression, they came out of it. Because after suffering from the First Noble Truth reality, especially separation, the death of their loved ones or their spouse or whatever, or somebody very dear to them. So what happened was, they developed a lot of sorrow, a lot of sadness, leading to severe depression, or what they call a cocoon of thought that continuously conditioned them into depression. And suicidal thought will come, because after that they cannot take it. Then they come and discuss with me. Of course, some of them were brought to me because they heard that people can develop understanding after talking to me. So when they come, normally I will let them tell me how they end up, what they are. Then initially, of course, they are quite reluctant. But then later on, when they develop the faith and the confidence, they start to reveal to me how all this happened. Then after that, I will explain to them the teaching behind the law of karma and attachment born of sakyadity, or say, of course, when they are new, it's not easy for them to understand. So what I did is, I make use of a skillful mean to explain to them. I say, no need to understand all this first, because you have not started learning about the teaching, cultivating about the teaching. The most easy to comprehend and understand is, what makes you miserable? And why are you so miserable? Of course, they will tell me, it's my spouse. We have been living together since marriage until now. And it has been so long. But there are some, not too long, maybe after marriage, just a few years, then they have a few children, one or two, or sometimes maybe three or four. Then what happened was, suddenly, their husband passed away, the breadwinner. They will be in a state of shock. Yeah. And they cannot accept that reality, because the sole breadwinner. So what is going to happen to them? The three or four children, together with her, the wife, which is not working. So that fear, that phobia intensifies. Then they cannot come to terms with those reality, the attachment, the clinging, the worry, the anxiety will manifest. Then finally, I will tell them, these are realities of life and existence. Not only you, many other people who also maybe confront similar situation. Some are even worse than yours. Of course, some are not so severe, relatively, compared to yours. But these are reality. You cannot avoid. When it happened, it happened. It's because there is this nature's law, law of karma. You reap what you sow. Condition like that, things will be like that. It will happen. When it happened, we have to come to terms with that reality. Then manage our life and move on. I say out of love and compassion for yourself, for your children, you have to be strong, because your husband is no more. If you are not strong, if you also give in to depression with suicidal thought and you decide to end your life, or you decide to hold on to all this misery through your own wrong view, delusion and attachment, that is one way to go through life. And most people have to go through that phase, suffer miserably, until they meet somebody who can help them. Some go to psychiatrists, see the psychiatric or you go to that type of doctor that supposed to help people with psychiatric problem or mental problem. Then normally they will counsel you, talk to you, and give you some form of medicative solution, means medicine. They know you have insomnia, you cannot sleep. They give you tranquilizer. Then they know you have fear, phobia, insecurity, and all these depressive symptoms and thoughts. They will give you medication, which is like hormone pills, to actually stabilize your emotion. But then these are like drugs. You become dependent on it. That's why most of them end up taking this drug and feel so drowsy. And they still are not strong to solve their problem, to confront life, to actually move on, to resolve all this. So I told them, the other way is to develop the understanding and wake up. That's why I say, you have to be strong, because now your husband no more. Out of love and compassion for your children, you must determine to pull through and do what you can to resolve things amicably. I say, this is not the end of life, the end of the world. Your projected thought, you attach to that thought projection through your wrong view that created suffering, misery. Then finally, I will use this very strong word. It's only a thought. Arise and pass away. How come it has such power over you? Can cause you so much suffering, misery, and affliction. So much fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. I say, your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny, to be happy or unhappy, or to be caught in misery, or to be happy. It's entirely your choice. Why can't you choose to be happy? Well, these are reality that has happened. Accept it. Move on. No need to be like miserable over it, sorrowful over it. Because this will not help you. No amount of sorrow, lamentation can bring back the dead. All these are negative mind states that will not help you solve your problem. To solve your problem, you have to understand that this thing already happened. This is the reality. You don't go and project your thought and blame yourself. Because all this is not a reality. Like the thought that tell you, if I have not neglected my husband, he will not end up what he is. If I have not pressured him or all those. But these are no more reality. The reality is, he is already no more. So come to terms with those reality, then act within the moment. If it's just a thought, then how come it has power over me? Yeah. My life, if I decide to be happy, I will be happy. Yeah. To decide to be happy, you have to solve your worldly problem. Your worldly problem is maybe, I say, your children, their welfare, then your future. I say, everybody has to go through life. These are reality. If you have brothers, sisters, or relatives, or somebody close to you, good friend or what, who can help you in whatever manner, talk to them, or discuss with them. Which what my family normally do. Then, in fact, I got one sister that one was during the early day when she was born. Somehow my grandmother wants to force my mother to give her away. But then later on, when she grew up, 20 over years old, she decided to come back because she came to know that her maternity parent and our brother sister were my side of the family. Then that was also because she was about to get married. Then they need us to actually meet up with the in-laws who are quite I think wealthy. They have good social status in my hometown, Alastair. So we managed to finally we decide to like explain to her the situation of how it happened. Then finally he became our family member back, and our parents are very happy, and we meet up, and they have very beautiful marriage. Happily married, then got 4 children. But then, just before the children reached the age of maybe form 4, form 5, the husband passed away. Then when I was told the news, I make a flight back because the news was so bad. When the husband had a stroke in the hospital, that sister of mine that was given away, she became so depressed, it's like she really lost herself. Then my brother, my sister-in-law went there and helped her. And the doctor advised us, he said, you better look after your sister-in-law, your sister. Your brother-in-law is already in a coma. He said, nothing much you can do. The doctor said he's more worried about the wife than my brother-in-law. So when I heard that, I knew what happened. He really had 4 children. And they were still not fully grown up yet, their education halfway. And the youngest one was still very young. Yeah. And because of that, I took a flight back to Alastair, went and see her, talked to her, held her hand, explained to her, you have to be strong, I said. You still have your children. I said, you don't have to worry about your finance, all those things. We are your brothers and sisters. We will help you see through all this. Yeah. You leave all those to me, to us. Yeah. And that's how we help her. Then I said, finally, these are reality that you have to confront. And it's only a thought. If you don't let that thought continuously intrude into your memory and haunt you and create all the phobia and nightmare and all those things, you will recover, I say. You must have enough rest, I say. Eat well, sleep. Then we will help you plan, yeah, what to do and all those things. So finally, I just taught her to resolve things amicably, following Noble Eightfold Path. No anger, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, don't blame. Thing already happened. Accept the reality and move on. Then I say, need to claim insurance? Claim insurance. Yes, the husband have the insurance. Need to claim EPF? Claim EPF. Then about your welfare, the children said, you don't worry, we will sort it out. Then finally, she also quite lucky, she managed to like come to terms with all this reality, then determine, as advised by me, to move on. That out of love and compassion for the children, she strives very hard. She starts to like take our advice. Then she starts to see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and things are moving on well. Then my brother, sister, they all together with us pull together some money to help him do some small business. Yeah. And she go and sell all those like pasar malam thing and all those things. And all the goods were from my brother. My brother got a business too in Alastair. That's why all this give her faith and going. Then he got a very good friend to help her to do all this. But she is totally new as a housewife. Never worked before. So finally resolved. Then there is one Kayamita also say, when I told her it's only a thought, she came out of it. You know. Yeah, he said, yeah, it's only a thought. How come he has power over me? He said. Then he decided to change from that moment. He said, I still have my life. Yeah, that lady don't have financial problem. Yeah. Financially, she is okay. Yeah. That's why she can come out. Then finally I say, you don't go and think that thought. You think that thought, you attach, you suffer. You know, after 3 months when she came out of it, she explained to me, she said, Brother Teo, when you talk about the first noble truth or dukkha, no need to explain, she said. She has been 2 years in depression, you know, since the husband passed away. But the husband very successful. Yeah, very successful. Did very well. Then when that thing suddenly happened, also heart attack, middle of the she cannot take it. Then he said everything he see at home, the poster, the things that they buy together, the memory of their life together, their travel and all things, remind her of the husband until she cannot stay at home. But the whole house bring back that memory. It's easy to say, you know, don't attach, don't think, it's only a thought. But to do it is not easy. Luckily, later on, she visited her daughter who is in overseas, off and on for many months. Then later on, after 2 years, she came back. Then, because my wife know her, they are colleagues. Then I told my wife, you watch out for her. When she is ready to talk, ask her to join us for lunch and dinner. That's how we contacted her, and through talking to her for about 2 to 3 months, she came out of it. And she explained to me, said, Brother Teo, your teaching is very good, is it? The first Noble Truth of Dukkha, no need to explain. He went through that 2 years of depression. He know it inside. Just like Alicia, 16 years. Then after that, I said, your life, you decide. It's only a thought. Then he really came out of it. No? Until the psychiatrist, doctors, medicine also, one by one, can just drop. Then no need to see psychiatry. Then she gave back her life. You know. She became very happy. Then she went for the Mandarin, Fo Guang San, the Dharma class and all those things. Then he joined the chanting. Then joined a lot of activity. Then, of course, help out in all the Buddhist activity and all those things. Then through talking to me, she learned a lot. The Dhamma. He said, yeah, it's only a thought. How come it has power over me? Thought come and go, impermanent. The reality is, the first Noble Truth happened already. Accept it. Then move on. Move on with what? With understanding. When you don't project your thought, when you don't cling on to your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, then this depression all gone. Then there is so much thing in life that you can still do, you know. That's why I teach her, I say, live life, visit your friends, your classmate, colleague, and whoever, even your brother or sister. Then develop the joy and the happiness. That's how all this can be resolved. Yeah. Even Alicia's case also same. She came out of it. She know these are all wrong thought. That condition, the cocoon of thought that condition her depression. Then he even tell that thought, no, enough. For 16 years you have tormented me. Enough. The moment he say enough, that wrong thought subside. The jealousy, the hatred, the unhappiness, the fear, the phobia, all gone. Then develop loving kindness, compassion, help people, do something to make yourself happy, joyful, like make donation, offering, help out in whatever manner that can give you purpose in life. So all this is what the teaching is all about. So you can have those understanding, then you can turn around, you can become different. And then after that, only teach them how to learn the teaching and develop the meditation, just like what Alicia went through, what my sister they all went through, and the lady that I helped. They learn the Dhamma. Then after many years, you know what she told me, you know? She said, Brother Teo, thank you so much for that teaching, is it? It has changed me completely. Now I got no more fear of dying and all those things. Then after that, her life turned around and she became so happy. You know? In fact, more happy than before the husband passed away. Then explained to her many other aspect of the teaching. And she also has affinity with the Mahayana teaching. That's why she learned to do the chanting. Then write that sutra. He said, Song Jing. they got this book where you can write over it to actually offer the sutta, the Mahayana sutta, like the Heart Sutta and whatever sutta. And she did it with joy and understanding. Then she joined us at our classes, and of course, the usual spiritual trip, Kayan Mita gathering, and all the other activities that we have. Then because we are close family friend, he used to visit me. We go for lunch, we go for dinner. And from here, we talk about Dhamma, we talk about life. And her understanding becomes so much clearer and better. And she used to tell me, is it through talking to you during lunch and dinner, I learn more than going to the temple. He said, going to the temple, they teach me a lot of theory, but they are not so useful, not so practical. Yeah. He said, what you share with me is very penetrative, he said, applicable to life, and can free my mind and bring forth a lot of joy, understanding. Then there were many other things that happened. And this is what Dhamma is, the teaching. When you understand the teaching, you understand life, then you know how to live life. Then all this First Noble Truth reality that cause suffering, affliction, misery, will have no power over you. That's why this section on the meditative mind is quite good. Yeah? Okay, maybe before we stop, I will go to another part, which is Appendix 6, Training the Mind. Well, this is related. Because the meditative mind, no need to train, that's all. But the mundane mind need to be trained, that's all. So, Appendix 6, Training the Mind. Yeah? So, training the mind, we are understanding the essential Dhamma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah? So, these are the notes compiled, mainly from various talk given by me at Klang, Tiratana Buddhist Society, Klang. I think this was June 2014, 11 years ago. It was a Thursday class too, some Thursday classes too, especially the one held at Brother Suyan's house. Also July 10, 2014. And March 2014, Cameron Highland Retreat at Sampo Temple. All this, we compile this. Okay, move up the Trinity Triangle to understand cultivation. So that C up there is your pure awareness nature, or pure consciousness, or the source, we call it the oneness. The essence of mind means your true nature or your original nature or the unconditioned, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, and beyond time. Then cannot be perceived or sensed because it's just the pure awareness nature. No thinking, no thought, nothing. It's tranquility, stillness, the silent mind, the meditative mind. But this is the first to come out. We call it the essence of mind. The pure awareness nature. Then if you use that pure mind or the true mind or your silent mind or your meditative mind to meditate, then you follow the left arrow. The left arrow is the silent mind developing the direct seeing, viasati, or the pure awareness nature. So you is understanding. So through the direct seeing, the pure awareness, you can observe. The silent mind observe, seeing things as they are, means observe the reality, means observing what is, means the actual movement. Then you can understand how you stir your mind, how you react, and how you create suffering. mental states and all things. So this silent mind, via the direct seeing, can insight into phenomena, can awaken, can also develop the wisdom. Yeah. Then once the wisdom born of right view, samadhi, is developed, you will have what we call yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Then to live life, you follow the right arrow. From the pure awareness, you create the thought process, the mundane living or experiences, the mundane mind. Through your senses, you create the sense door consciousness. So this mundane thinking, mundane consciousness, trigger of the phenomenal world of consciousness. And this is where your five aggregate of form and mind is, the thought process and all those things. Okay. The two aspects of the five aggregate. So S is sense basis. Our physical body have the six sense basis. And contact with consciousness and the sense data trigger off the respective sense or consciousness. Then you input the content, it becomes the mundane thinking, thought process. So without wisdom, born of the direct seeing, you don't have yoniso manasikara to act. Means that horizontal arrow, which is for living life, cannot come to be. So most people follow the right arrow, huh? So we show with the pointer. So most people are caught inside this right arrow. But when you develop the meditative training, you train your mind to develop the silent mind and develop the direct seeing, you can awaken, develop the wisdom, and with the wisdom connected, this yoniso manasikara will prompt you at the moment of sense experience. Like when you see something, instead of stirring your mind and reacting, you like and dislike pleasant, then this mind will not be deluded by what you see. Well, it will tell you, sankara anicchang, sankara dukkang. Then that wisdom will free you. Then you will not react, you will not stir. Then they are just the way they are. Condition like that, things we like that. Deluded people do deluded things. Foolish people do foolish things. Fearful people do fearful things. Violent people do violent things. They are just the way they are. Then you can accept them for what they are and the world for what they are. We are conditioned like that, things we like that. So all this wisdom, they will surface. Then the wisdom born of contemplation also will show up. He know you, he know me. Just form and mind. It's only a thought. How come it has power? All this will surface. All this understanding will help you maintain the equanimous mind. That's why your mind will not stir to create the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. The sensual desire you will wish are mental hindrance. Then there is no more fear, no more restlessness of mind. No more sleepiness and all those things. There is clarity, tranquility, stillness of mind. That's why when you have your pure mind, your meditative mind, your pure awareness, your mind becomes different. It no longer lost in thought. It no longer arises the heedless thinking and all those things. Okay, you move up, see, move up. And now I teach you how to train your mind. What is a trained mind? So from the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless thinking mind, you need to train it. How do you train it? When you train it through awareness-based meditation, and when the mind is trained, it listens to you, understand? It is just silent, ever mindful, tranquil, and still. That's why I put here, a trained mind is always silent, means the pure awareness nature. Heedful, peaceful, tranquil, and still. Then relax, of course. The key word, the first support is relax. And naturally aware within means it's a free mind. Naturally aware, not a conditioned state. So that is a trained mind. The trained mind listens to you. It is always in that state of pure awareness, ever mindful, tranquil and still. Then, because it is tranquil and still and peaceful, it has clarity, born of inner peace and inner awareness. And because it has this clarity, it can see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So this is how you train your mind. This is how you develop the understanding. Then it will listen to you. If you want it to be silent, it will just be silent, peaceful and aware. It will just be so. Yeah. It will not stir and become Hitler. It will not even chatter or verbalize or do all those funny reactions to sense experience, because it has been trained. It's just like badminton or any game you play. When you train very well, become very skillful, what happens? You can decide where you want to return your shuttlecock to, isn't it? You want it to go to baseline, you will go to baseline where you have trained. You want it to return to net, you want to retrieve, you know what to do. And you are very mindful, skillful, and it's spontaneous. You don't have to think, because you are trained. So a trained mind is also the same. It will listen to you. It will obey you. It will not create a mischief leading to all the attachment, deluded thinking, the wrong view, etc. Then you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate noble eightfold path, leading to heedfulness. So to use it and direct it to cultivate noble eightfold path is a training tool. Because when you know what is right view, you will know how to make use of it to live life. Because the right view are the three important spiritual right view. Right view regards to law of karma. Right view regards to how you manifest as a human being, the mind. We are paticca samuppada, the law of dependent origination. Then right view with regards to the law of Dhamma, law of truth, or they call it the Dhamma Niyama. The first one is Kama Niyama, then Chitta Niyama, then Dhamma Niyama. So all this, you can develop them. So you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness. Then it will become like a servant to you. It will serve you well. Yeah. Then a trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative means heedful. Hence, it's the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. Yeah. So you move it up. Yeah. Okay, then what is an untrained mind? This is a direct opposite. An untrained mind is heedless. It thinks a lot and reacts easily to sense experience. And is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. So if you don't train your mind, this mind will become heedless. It will act, speak and think with a heedless mind. That have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you. If you want to suffer, no need to train your mind, be heedless. But if you want to develop the happiness in life, then follow Dhammapada verse 2. Be heedful, be mindful. Yeah. Then, when you know mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. So, you were determined to take care of mind, to train your mind. Then when you train your mind, you will act, speak, and think with a trained mind that does not have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, that has the right view, the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Then, happiness will follow you. Because without the evil root, all your actions, speech, and thought process will be right. Happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. Then the second part is, the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. You know what is a devil, huh? Do all the mischief. And it will make you very evil. Then number three, you have no control over it. It actually controls you and takes over your life, causing you suffering. So this one is very easy to understand. Why you got no control over it? Because I always ask Ahimita that question. If you don't have mindfulness and awareness to see clearly, who are you, what are you? If you don't even know who are you, what are you, then the next question is, who is living your life? Do you understand? If you think your thought is you, then you get yourself entangled. But most of the time, the thought is living your life. Wisdom is not there to enable you to have the understanding to live life. That's why the thought which is deluded is living your life. That's why most people are heedless. They suffer. Yeah. So, it is very important to understand this. Who is living your life? Without the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, you cannot understand life and you cannot live life. So to live life is very important. Yeah. So there is another aspect that you will come to understand through your awareness-based meditation. You realize that most human beings, they act according to memory. Because that is the only instrument they have since birth until now. Everything, they go back to memory, you know. Their knowledge, their views, opinion, condition, belief. From there, they act. You know. And do you know what J. Krishnamurti say? Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because when we have the mindfulness and the awareness, we will see clearly. What is memory? Accumulation of what? Experiences, good and bad. It includes what? Your phobia, your insecurity, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your negative psychological memory. And all these are with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So how can you act according to that? Means you are acting according to your fear, your phobia, your wrong view, your delusion, your insecurity. And all this is not acting at all because it will bring about suffering, misery. Then if you don't act according to memory, then how should you act? You must act with wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara. That is the one that frees you. Yeah. That's why don't act according to memory. And most people cannot do that because they are so conditioned by memory. Everything also, you realize, from memory you act and you stir your mind. Not until the Dhamma dawn in you, the yoniso manasikara dawn in you, you cannot act according to your understanding, your Dhamma understanding and wisdom. Okay? Then the next point is, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. So this one need to be trained. Deluded with wrong view, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. This anger is hatred. Selfishness is greed. Emotional fear, worry, anxiety, and all the other mind state that lead to suffering, these are your sakayadity, self-delusion. So greed, hatred, and delusion, they are all there. Then the last one, it has no understanding of what is going on in life because it lacks wisdom. And the reason is, it is deluded. Then training the mind, this is the last part. After this, we can stop. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence, they suffer because they don't understand life. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which are the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful, to understand what is going on in life, so as to understand who are we, what are we, and how our mind functions, so that we understand what causes suffering, and how our deluded mundane mind get muddled up in life. So this is using the pure awareness, the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind to observe, to develop the understanding. Then the untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful. It thinks a lot because of the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. The mental hindrance will hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. And to overcome the five mental hindrances, one needs to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya as taught by the Buddha. So this one I have taught you all before. We will skip it. And when the five spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will be gone. And the mind will be trained automatically. That's why you should work on the cultivation of the five spiritual faculties via your puja and devotional practice and daily religious routine. Then the three phases of Dhamma is how you train. Pariyati, Patipati, and Pativeda. So, Pariyati is the learning of the teaching of Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Nowadays, learning, you can learn through listening, or reading up, then do join Dhamma classes, like what we have, and Dhamma discussion group and all this thing. Then second phase is, after you have learned the teaching, Patipati is the cultivation. If you learn, it's knowledge. But if you put it into practice and cultivation, then it becomes Dhamma understanding. So we are putting the Dhamma learned into practice in daily lives so that it can become a living reality. So once you develop the cultivation, you can awaken. Then phase three is the most beautiful part of your life. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work or cultivation. Then you can become an enlightened being. Okay, then the table down there is the three phases of Dhamma cultivation, together with the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. This one you go back and read it up. It is very well summarized and it's very clear. Move on up some. Then 6.4 no need, the importance of Sati. Those who are interested, you can read up yourself. Then the important advice to meditator. This appendix 6 is very detailed, very good. And using the silent mind, samasati, etc. Very long section. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought also taught there. Then you can go through. a bit more. I think should finish already. Okay, we finish. Okay, so we will end here. Then now we can have our 40 minutes of awareness-based meditation because we overshot the time by 5 minutes. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to stabilize so that you can be heedful or mindful in the midst of life, leading to a very stable daily mindfulness, awareness. Then whenever you are in a state of relaxed inner awareness, you can be mindful, leading to the stability that can make you ever mindful, and throughout the day you are mindful. And whenever you relax and silent, you will go into the meditative state straight away. Yeah. Initially, maybe it takes you a while because you have not trained so well. But when you have trained, it's very easy to be in the meditative state. Yeah. Your mind is just relaxed, aware, without thought. Yeah. And initially, most people find it quite difficult, but don't worry, have faith, it can be done. When the mindfulness stabilizes, you will have a lot of understanding, a lot of joy. Okay, now we go to second session where we can open up. Anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any Dhamma question regarding the teaching, the meditation, or today's topic, you can. You can also maybe share Dhamma in daily life based on your understanding and experience.
Yeah, Sukhyon to Virgil and Kalyana, the rest of the Kalyana Mita.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I have a very brief sharing. I think for the past 2 weeks, I've been doing my formal sitting of this open awareness space. I realize there's when I go back to my day-to-day life, I realize there are some very significant changes in my thought, where I am more aware of what I'm.
Very good. That's very good. That's the beginning.
Yeah.
You will more become aware. More aware. Huh?
Yeah, because more aware.
You are
yeah.
training your mind.
Yeah.
When you start to train your mind, the awareness will slowly come into you. Then you become more aware of what is going on within you. That is the initial stage, which is good.
And I feel that there's a little bit of a delay of time in my reaction. At one time, I feel like I'm a pausing on my reaction. It's not to say I slow down my reaction to my sense experience, but I feel that the time has actually slowed down for me to be aware of the action to be taken.
Oh, okay. In fact, that one is different because when you train your mind, your awareness, which is aware within, that one is very different. That one is independent of the knowing, independent of the thinking and all those things. But what you are trying to explain is your response.
Yes.
Your response to what is happening. You believe is like taking longer. But when you have done it correctly, that thing won't happen on. This one is happening is because your old way and your new training make you like that. Because as you train, you enter into another phase of using your thought. You are still most of the time at your thought. Because your mindfulness has not stabilized. But don't worry, Brother Wong, because what is more important is you just continue to train. Do you play badminton?
When I was younger, but not now.
Never mind. Are you skillful in your stroke? Can you play quite well?
Yes. Yeah, automatically
eating. Okay, then I can advise you. Just like how you train yourself to play badminton. Initially, you're very crude, isn't it? Because the shuttlecock also you cannot hit. Or you hit also, sometimes you kena the frame. Sometimes you got no control over the shot. Then to serve also, you find it like you are not skillful. In Cantonese, it's like you are very lun zhen wan. But as you train, every time you try to serve, you make mistake, never mind one. But after a while, if you continue the training, then you realize the stroke become more and more like control. Means you can have better control over how you want to send the shuttlecock. You want to serve low, it go low. You want to serve to baseline, it go baseline. Then when you want to return a shot, wherever you receive it, you can retrieve it, and you can decide where you want to place it. That means you have trained, you are skillful. Then even if you decide to smash, you can smash. But when your stroke is not spontaneous, means you have not trained it well, your flick everything is like not systematic, understand? It's like not smooth, not skillful. But when you become very skillful, it's like spontaneous, the thing just go on. And your flick is very effective and very strong. Even your smash or your placing, the shuttlecock will go very smoothly. Before you train, it's like not smooth. It doesn't really listen. Then when you want to send it somewhere, you realize that you don't have the strength or you don't have the stroke or you are still not skillful yet. So mindfulness is similar. You have to train. Train means you don't try to like get yourself involved with whether you are good or not. Well, initially everybody start, they are not good one, because the mindfulness is not there, because it's like there is a gap. There's a gap when you like drop your shuttlecock, and when you hit, most of the time it's not synchronized.
Okay,
the body and mind is not one. Like the action move, but not coordinated with the mind. But when it's coordinated with the mind, the body and the mind and the racket, they will move together. They move together like spontaneous. Zoom, it will go. And then you realize, with that, you are in control. You have skill. You are more like skillful in your movement and your stroke. So mindfulness is the same. You must understand that daily mindfulness demands your awareness. You have to be aware of every action, every movement. What you are taught under your Mahasi Sayadaw's training is you tend to do the noting. The noting will slow you down.
Yes.
No need to note. Standing aware. Aware means what? Your awareness and your physical posture, the standing posture as one. Then walking away. Don't go and come out with the noting, intending to walk, or standing. Those noting, forget about it. Understand or not?
Yeah.
You just walk. Walk means what? Body and mind move as one. Do you understand? Body and mind move as one. Your mind, your awareness, and your physical movement, they are in harmony, synchrony. They move just like your racket and your stroke. They are one. There is no gap on. That is the real sati, the real training. Then when you bow, also same. Body and mind move as one. No thought on. You have to learn that. Then walking, turning, bending, stretching, away without thought. Means your body and mind, when I talk about mind, means the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness. The awareness and your bodily activity and movement, they are together. You can follow.
Yeah.
That one very important. So like you go for a walk, morning walk or whatever. If you just walk naturally, don't try to control your pace. You walk naturally, there will be a pace that suit you on. And you walk until body and mind move as one, you feel very light on, very good on. And that is the tip. That all your movement, activity, the awareness and the body as one. And means your mind has entered sati. You have to stabilize it until everything you do, like what is described in the Kaya Nupassana.
Yeah.
There is a section, the third category of cultivation. First is anapanasati, okay? The one, if you don't do, you can forget about it, never mind. Then after that, when you have your mindfulness developed already, you're supposed to go and train your daily mindfulness, the four posture, standing, aware, walking, aware, lying down, aware, sitting, aware. Then you have to connect all these four posture in your daily life. That's why third category of practice is sati sambhajana, means you not only develop mindfulness, but you add in clear comprehension. So that one you read. The Buddha says standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching aware. Means no labeling, nothing. The awareness and the movement as one.
Okay.
You have to do that. Then train yourself to be aware. Whatever activity, like your blinking of your eye, your turning of your hand, your stretching, bending, all the movement activity away. Then when you walk, the whole body got a lot of movement on. Just naturally relax and follow. Body and mind move as one without thought. Most of the time, your thought try to come in and intervene. Try to know whether you are mindful or not. When the thought do that, you cannot be mindful already. Because the thought which is trying to be mindful is creating thought. So you just walk naturally until body and mind move as one. Then the sati will come. Then everything is like in harmony, perfect synchrony. Your awareness and your bodily activity and movement. Like the blinking of your eye, the turning of your hand, the stretching, bending, whatever you do. Then all your bodily movement, as you walk, you got all your leg, your body, all there is movement or no. You have to have the awareness and the whole bodily movement as one. That is the key, not the noting one. Where the noting one, the thought is active. Then you cannot be in harmony. In harmony means without thought, body and mind move as one. Everything is in harmony. So whatever you do, you just observe it silent. Then the activity, that movement, like my hand, can you just move with awareness? You don't go and see and perceive the hand, no. The movement and your awareness as one. Then like your blinking of your eye, that moment when it blinks, the awareness is there. Then everything you see, the movement and activity of other people, when your sati stabilizer, you can see one. You can be like inside that person on. Like that person doing char kway teow or walking or what, you can be like inside his body on. That is what the Buddha meant by kaya nupassana. Means mindfulness of kaya internally, means within your own kaya, and externally other people's kaya. You can be inside that one. It's like you are that person doing all the movement and activity. Your mindfulness can catch up with it. Then like the moving car, the fan, everything. The awareness, when you are without thought, the awareness just flow with it. We call it specific phenomenal awareness. You have to learn to do this until you become very skillful. Then when you become very skillful, you realize your mind will enter sati. And everything you do is in sati. At that time, you will progress very fast. Okay? So initially, don't worry about your description. You are trying to use your thought to understand what is going on. I realize that type of training is still without the clear understanding yet. That's why you have to ask questions. Then I can guide you along. Yeah. So you try to listen to what I share in my reply to you again. Then you try it. Body and mind as one. Just do. Don't try to know.
Yeah. Thank you. Sadhu.
You try it out, then you will progress. Yeah. So thank you for asking the question and bringing out the sharing. Because without all these questions, for new people, I cannot really share and let you develop the understanding. But you must ask. When you ask, the way I explain, you have to listen a few times. Then do. Try it out. Like training yourself in badminton. If you try every day, you become skillful very fast. It's like training it. Train. You have to train. Train yourself to be aware. That's why the mundane mind that think a lot need to be trained. Train means you decondition the heedless thinking. Now you train yourself to be aware without thought. You don't go and like think a lot. Lost in thought, verbalize, chattering. All this must stop. It can only stop when you are aware. When you are aware, it cannot chatter, it cannot verbalize, it cannot think, it cannot do all those things. It cannot even be heedless. You will be attentive most of the time. Naturally, the free mind is attentive, without thought. Even now I speak to you, there is awareness inside. And all my activity and movement, I can see. Then whatever phenomena that within my vision or my senses, I can be aware. If I choose to be aware, I can be aware. Then if I choose to be without a center, I can just stay inside. Completely spacious awareness without a center. So all these are the training. When you develop the training, you can understand, because you have to be in that state of sati leading to continuity of mindfulness. We call it stability of daily mindfulness, means ever mindful. When you can be ever mindful, means your mind has entered sati. Then everything you do, there is mindfulness or no. All your movement activity, there is the awareness on physical, kaya, means specific phenomena, awareness of your kaya activity. Then later on, because it becomes so stable, you can see nature's phenomena, your specific phenomena awareness with all the nature's phenomena and movement. You can be aware of it. Then you can be aware of your mental flow, all of your thought process. Your whatever sensation, feeling, there is movement, how it stir. The silent mind just follow, just aware. Just aware. It don't think one. That's why develop the training to be aware, finish. Don't let it proliferate and continue. With that thing. Well, most of the time, human beings who are not trained in mindfulness, they will perceive, then they retrieve from memory, then they will react, they will stir their mind, or they will comment, or they will come out with the verbalization, then they talk to themselves inside. Then a lot of commentary on. Then if you are mindful, you can see most people who are not trained, they think a lot on. Then very small thing worry them on. Create a lot of anxiety on if there is problem they haven't resolved or they heard some bad news, they got fear, very fast they react. So this is what we call normal activity of a heedless person. They call it the putujana. Putujana means not enlightened being. Normal living being that don't have sati, don't have the wisdom and the understanding. That's why they are called putujana. And they think a lot. The mental hindrance are everywhere. Sakayaditi is everywhere. That's why they cannot train their mind. They cannot be with the moment in silent awareness without thought. So this one need understanding to train. Train until the mind listen to you. You want it to be aware, it's just silent, aware. And it doesn't move, it doesn't even think. That is the skill. Then you want it to do things, listen attentively, it will listen attentively. Then every moment of sense experience you have trained, the yoniso manasikara will prompt you, your wisdom, your understanding will prompt you. Then you realize you are less reactive like before. You have less and less reaction to sense experience. Your mind like doesn't stir and react like before anymore. You are more at peace. Then when you go through that phase, you realize you got more and more space between thought. Means every moment of sense experience, you don't stir, means there is silence. Then the next sense experience, the next sense experience. And most of the time, you're just aware. No thinking, no thought. But you need to live life. So sometimes when you need to retrieve from memory to recognize who that person is, or you have to observe the traffic when you are driving, you can still do it. Understand? There will still be perception. There will still be from memory, the knowing. But no psychological fear to interfere, to make you like worry, panic. All those things, no more. You just need to arise thought to live life. That's it. And this thought will have no power over you. Yeah, they are just a thought. And the thought is like an instrument for us to actually live life, to share, to express, and to do whatever we need. That's why within the conditioned world, thought is required. But thought is just like a tool or an instrument for you to use, like a knife. You understand? Not? Knife. 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 Knife is for you to cut fruit, shape vegetable, and do whatever carving or things that is useful to you. But if you use that tool or instrument wrongly, then what happens? Instead of serving you, you use that knife to cut yourself, hurt yourself, harm yourself, or hit out at others, to kill and to harm. That is the wrong way of using that tool, isn't it? That knife, isn't it? But human being, precisely without mindfulness, is using their thought wrongly, like that knife. They think the wrong thought to hurt themselves, to harm themselves, to develop the anger, the hatred, the fear, the sorrow, the lamentation. Then they get angry, they hit out. They become very violent, abusive. And that is the wrong way of using thought. That's why the Buddha, in the teaching, when he teach Noble Eightfold Path, he said you must have right view, born of wisdom, the Dhamma understanding, to give rise to right thought. So what are right thought? Thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Delusion means fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then when you understand that, then what are wrong thought? Means thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. That's why I say, whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, the wrong thought is there. Because without the evil root, you will not be unhappy. You will be very peaceful, very tranquil, very still. You will be with your true mind. And there is only love, there is only joy, there is only tranquility, stillness, peacefulness, awareness. Now these are the mind state that is without the evil roots. But when there is fear, there is anxiety, there is insecurity, then what happened? These are all wrong thought, negative energy state. Then when there is selfishness, craving, desire, possessiveness, violent emotion and character. So all this, you will see clearly. Then you realize, hey, these are all wrong thought. That's why the Buddha say, sabbe sankara anicchang. All sankara is impermanent, they come and go. Then if you attach and cling and give meaning, sabbe sankara dukkang. This wrong thought condition your suffering, your misery. That's why all this you have to develop through your mindfulness and awareness to see. So to recognize wrong thought is more important than trying to develop right thought. Because the right way is to avoid all evil. When you can avoid all evil, sabba papasa akarana, means you are incapable of evil. No more wrong thought. No more greed, hatred, and delusion. So the absence of evil is good. You are automatically good. So don't try to do good. Develop the understanding of avoiding all evil. Then by nature, you are good. You are incapable of evil. People who are incapable of evil is naturally good. But if you try to do good, what happens is the thought is trying to interpret what is good. So that good is according to the individual. Good according to you may not be the nature's law's good. Most people are selfish. So they will justify. No, good for you, like when you want to force your children to learn music, or study, or do, hey, this is good for you. That is according to you, not good for your kid. Because your kid may not like what you want him to do. So, good and bad, according to the individual, are relative truth, not ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is the nature's law. Whatever that brings about harmony, understanding without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, that is without evil. The absence of evil is naturally good. So don't try to be good. We're trying is the thought. And the thought without wisdom cannot be good. So all this understanding, as you train yourself in mindfulness, awareness, you see them, you understand them, then you start to change. Then I remember in the early days, when I was doing it in 1988-89, then when I saw all this, then I realized, oh, no wonder the Buddha said, living beings are full of sakayaditi, ignorance. But the ego, the selfishness, the craving, the desire is so strong. The I and the me, for me or not for me. If it's not beneficial, I won't do. If you got nothing to do with me, my family, or whatever, I don't want to have anything to do with it. So that selfishness all very strong. That's why later on I understand why the Buddha said most living beings, before they become enlightened, they have ignorance. So in the early day, because as a graduate university student, you before you enter university Malaya during my time, the early 70s, you have to be very good. Then when I read the sutta, that living beings are full of ignorance, delusion, then initially I say, cannot be. Well, we thought we have a lot of understanding, but that is actually academic knowledge. You are really full of ignorance. In the sense that you cannot understand life, then everything you do when you are mindful, you realize is good according to you, the individual, and that you is egoic, selfish. That one cannot bring about the real good. Then I realize this is why the Buddha say you have to train yourself to avoid all evil. Sabba papasa akaranam. You can avoid all evil means what? You are incapable of evil. That's why a person who is incapable of evil will abide by the precept. Yeah, those who break the precept are committing major evil. You can put it to test, investigate on it. The first precept, panatipata viramani sikapadam samadhi yami. Who kill? Who harm? Who violate the first precept? He has to be a violent person, selfish person, and deluded person. Otherwise, he wouldn't do that. Understand? That's why people who break that precept, they commit major evil. Yeah, they have the three evil roots of selfishness, which is greediness, emotional negativity, anger, hatred, envy, or jealousy. Then they also have fear, worry, anxiety. That's why self-delusion. And that delusion trigger off a lot of self-defense. We are out of fear. You try to do things to protect yourself, yeah? Or to like defend yourself and all those things. So these are action and thought process that has the evil root. That's why later on when you develop more and more understanding, when your mindfulness is more and more, then you can see even your subtle greed, subtle delusion, your subtle fear, insecurity, and your subtle emotional negativity, even your slight aversion or dislike. You can see them. Very slight. You can see them. Then your minor conceit, all you can see. You still have the egoic entity inside that. You still believe you are somebody. And all this is what mindfulness is capable of rooting out. Capable of observing, developing the understanding. Then from there, retrospectively through the understanding, you root it out. And the rooting out is the absence of evil is good. That's why when you are ever mindful, you cannot break your precept. Like the 10 step in the Abhijja Sutta, I explained. After you have the yoniso manasikara, you become different. You have more and more space between thought. Then step 5, which is sati sampajana, will come to you. Then your mindfulness stabilizes. Your clear comprehension stabilizes. Then sense restraint become automatic. Step 6. You cannot break your precept already. When you cannot break your precept, means you are incapable of evil. Where people who break their precept has a lot of evil. Then after that, step 7, the 3 type of right conduct, means from right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, can be developed. And once you finish step 6 and 7, you are at least a sotapan or a sakadagami already. Otherwise, you cannot reach that state. That's why mindfulness is very important. Having Dhamma friend, Kayamita, that is step 1. Then from there, all the steps go up. So hopefully, with this sharing, it can help new people. More and more people can develop the understanding. Then from there, you will make the progress. Okay, Chan? Wong. Brother Wong, yeah.
Thank you. Sadhu.
You go and listen, then it will help you.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Anybody else want to come in or ask any question, you can.
Good evening, Brother Mrs. Stewart. paramitas.
Yeah.
我想讲几句给 brother 休息一下。
可以可以，阿弥陀佛，沙丢。
brother， brother， 就是我想讲那个 observation 哦，这个给我这次的 Switzerland 的 trip 给我很好的一个 training， 就是当我在我们在 train 里面 on the way 去 Zermatt 的时候，哇，
对，
他给我的 lesson。One and after one, you know, 我就一直在 observe 我的 mind 有没有被他的所
啊，对，
也被影响
啊，影响 and distracted。
我不可以说完全没有，就是就是你会很怎么样说，就是接受他所说的一切，而不是
对。
你不会想去影响别的人这样子，就是说你认为这个你讲给他们听他也帮不了你。
对对对。
那你就自己看一下怎么样去解决就算了。所以这一个就是说这个 trip 给我不单单我要怎么样学习怎样的去应付。First of all, 要怎么样说呢？就是acquire and flow with condition and then plan 我们的 trip， 然后就是遇到问题的时候，怎么样的去解决？怎么
对对对，啥都
Dharma understanding 哦，就是说
yeah.
不要跟人家去争，不要去吵，
对对对对，解决问题
就解决掉，所以。回来过后虽然我好像就说我好像我的就是 daily routine by 被干扰一点点，但是其实本来就我觉得这个是一个很好的 training， 因为 你 go through all the stages of training， 你看到很多不一样的东西
因为在一个 new country 嘛
Yeah.
And the environment, the scenery, everything is different. And sometimes it's like very enticing. Then all the beautiful scenery, especially in Switzerland, the weather, everything. But when you really have the mindfulness and the awareness, when you are fully present there, your nature actually merges with the nature of that area, that beautiful nature. And you feel that joy within, then that what they call mind, which is like the oneness nature, you are really there, you are really present. Then everything is just the way it is, so pristine, so beautiful. Like you say, you can accept the reality and accord and flow with everything that manifests. Then you realize there is a lot of harmony. But when one of the human being or some human being starts to react and create situation, then you realize the disharmony. That's why when you encounter any of this, then you just resolve it. You just accept them for what they are, conditioned like that, things. Then you know how to accord and flow. Then everything is just the way it is. Then it's like whether you are there or you are at home, there is no difference. Because the nature that has the understanding can manifest anywhere. Then whatever arises when you silent, all the creation from your senses cease. That is what Dhamma is. Then you realize all this thinking, no need. Don't have to be there. Condition like that, things be like that. Everything just follow the Panchaniyama's activity and movement. And the understanding is very different. You can do it because you have the training. Then you can make use of it to observe. And you learn more and more, which the way you describe it can actually let other people understand, which is very good. Sadhu, Alicia?
Yeah, brother, 很多时候我并没有一直在想怎么样第二天怎么样
不需要的
它就是
everything will fall into place As long as you have contemplated, reflected, then you have a preliminary program. That's why 好像你讲这样啊, when we are there, you will decide based on the weather's condition and whatever. That is the true Dhamma way. Means Dhamma is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. You cannot be rigid on yourself. When conditions is to be, we have to move. And we accord and flow with condition where we understand. Then when your nature is very beautiful, like what happened is that 14 to 15 days when we were there, the weather was quite cold actually. Yeah. Then even the Airbnb owner and some of the people that we met, they also tell us, if the weather is good, the question is, if there is no rain or what, then it's very, very beautiful. But when the rain comes, when the weather is not so good, then it may disrupt your travel and all that. But it's like we were so blessed. Oh. For the first 14 days, perfect weather, no, hardly any rain. No. Even got rain also, very slight drizzle, like doesn't matter at all. Just our that Mondale, you call the one, that one, warm clothing, see, Mondale, the, baka, baka, that one, more than enough to give us the protection or whatever. Then it like doesn't affect us at all. Then what happened was, on the last day when we have to wake up early to go to the airport, then only it start to rain. Rain until we reach the airport, all sheltered, covered, so it doesn't affect us. So nature has been so kind, so beautiful, and it's like meant to be. That's why when you take care of karma, karma take care of you, the Dhamma protector. They give us our blessings because we share merit, we transfer merits. So things that you do will manifest and come back with causes and conditions that are so conducive. And it's meant to be. That's why I say, when I travel, I tell people, don't worry. Even like the Uthaisana, the first day, remember, no? It was raining. No? Then we're supposed to go out the mountain. No? Never mind, rain, let it be, because that is the way, nature. Then that lady from China that told you, together with Mr. Er, they say, oh, we have to change our program because of the rain, because too slippery, the so-called bus that's supposed to take us around, or buggy or the thing, is dangerous. Then I told our Kayamita group, and together with Pamasuri, I said, never mind, follow. We accord and flow. Then it turned out to be a blessing. Well, that day, it was raining, but only drizzling. Luckily, we didn't go up. Then we went to the mountain area, and we visited all the area like meant to be. Wherever we enter the Kuan Yin Daochang and the monastery, there were a few where even the abbot came out to find out who is it and all those things. And all those things like meant to be happened, unfold. Then after that, the next few days until the end, sunny, meant to be. Then we go back to our routine. And that is how you actually develop understanding. You don't get angry, you don't get like agitated, well, are you, why the weather today like that? Supposed to go mountain cannot. You do this, the karmic repercussion will come back to you. Now, the moment you stir your mind, get angry, that is the condition for negative causes and conditions to unfold. That's why accord and flow means never get upset, never get afflicted or unhappy over what happened. Accord and flow, that word you use is very good. And this is how, when you have the Dhamma understanding, everything will go your way. And things will be beautiful. It will unfold naturally. based on nature's law, based on your understanding and your karmic. Otherwise, it cannot be like that. So all this is for us to learn. Yeah? So Alicia, okay?
Yeah, 感恩，真的很感恩。
因为真不容易，因为有这样的causes and conditions不容易的，因为我跟他们去新疆也是一样，所以虽然know啊，虽然and蜜蜂聊，但虽然有一次也讲出来， you must know we come with who 啊， 因为我跟我太太在那边嘛， so the weather was exceptional, very beautiful. In fact, like all our spiritual trip, it's like meant to be. Mm. 很好, Sadhu, thanks for...
因为时间的关系, 剩下我 next week 才学哦。
可以, 谢谢。 Okay, yeah. So let us rejoice. Huh? Sadhu. Okay, now we do the sharing of merits. Huh? Then... BN Akasata Cha Bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Jirang Rakan Tuloka Sasana Itta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Sidhya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Devo wasadukalina sasa sampati hetu cha. Fito bhavatu loko cha, raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yava nivana patiya. Sadhu. Okay, you all can now mindfully pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.